from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming on IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 23rd day of August 2017. And I'm delighted to have on this program today somebody that I've wanted to have on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for years, and now we finally providentially have that opportunity. His name is Chris Roseborough. He is a confessional Lutheran and pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He also runs Pirate Christian Radio and hosts the Fighting for the Faith podcast. Today we're going to be addressing Hillsong Church Examined. Are there serious doctrinal problems down under their music? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Chris Roseborough.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yes, I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, having you on for the first time, because we just had you on a few seconds ago and or minutes ago, and there was technical problems, so we had to restart the whole program. So hence, all of you listening, that's why we're kind of restarting from the beginning here. But we have a bunch of things to talk about today, but before we get into the heart of our subject, I would like you to explain what a confessional Lutheran is. I happen to be a confessional Baptist. My co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor, is a confessional Presbyterian, and you are a confessional Lutheran. Tell us what that means.
Sure. So in talking about being a confessional Lutheran, you have to put a modifier on the word Lutheran nowadays due to the fact that there are so many people who call themselves Lutherans who actually do not believe at all what Lutherans have historically believed, taught, and confessed. So when we talk about our confessions, Lutherans hold to a body of confessions that you can find in a work called the Book of Concord. And basically that would include confessions like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, as well as the Augsburg Confession, the Small Catechism, the Formula of Concord, and basically doctrinal writings like that. Whereas today, so-called Lutherans that are very liberal, they deny the inerrancy of Scripture, they ordain impenitent homosexuals, they also ordain women and things like that. Although they call themselves Lutheran, there's nothing Lutheran about them, yet alone Christian. And so by saying I'm a confessional Lutheran, I'm making a distinction between what I believe, teach, and confess as compared to what somebody like that who is a liberal would believe, teach, and confess, so that you can basically say, aha, so Lutherans historically have not believed that you can ordain a homosexual and things like that, and we say absolutely not. So that's really why I make the distinction, so that people do not put me in with that other group of people who call themselves Lutheran, but there's nothing, like I said, Lutheran about them at all.
Yes, and you are, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, or about a minute ago, you are the pastor of the Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. Tell us about Kongsvinger.
Sure. Kongsvinger Lutheran Church is a small rural congregation out in Oslo, Minnesota, and it was planted about 140 years ago by Norwegian immigrants who came from Norway and planted themselves in this area. And, in my congregation, it's a small, tiny congregation, a pretty hefty percentage of the people who I serve as pastor are farmers and people who live here on the land and are, directly related to the original founders of the church. And yes, it's true, there are some of the people in my congregation, they actually enjoy, for whatever reason, Lutefisk, although I can't imagine why anybody would like that. So.
Well, you know something? I happen to be Norwegian, at least on my father's side. At one point during a debate that I had orchestrated between my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and Father Mitch Pacwa, a Roman Catholic priest, during the opening announcements, I announced to the audience that I was a Norwegian and Polish. And I said, that means that my ancestors were Vikings that raided their own villages. And after the debate, Father Mitch Pacwa punched me very hard in the arm. But anyway, but he actually thought it was pretty funny. But having said that, my ancestors, we have an interesting connection here because my ancestors fled Scandinavia in the 19th century because they were Baptists. Being persecuted by the Lutheran church state. And they were, the Lutheran government was, the Lutheran run government was being, was arresting and fining Baptists who were performing the baptisms in the Lord's Supper without a Lutheran minister's license. So I didn't even find this out. I was raised Roman Catholic. I didn't even find this out until my, uncle did our family tree, did a lot of investigative research, actually flew to Norway and spent time there. But my father was a Baptist. My father's father, I should say, was a Baptist who converted to Episcopalianism because his wife, my grandmother, was Episcopalian. And my father, who was Episcopalian, eventually when I was a teenager, converted to Catholicism. So I did not even know about my Baptist roots until I had become a Baptist after my regeneration, my rebirth. So this was quite an interesting fact. But that should not hinder our brotherly discussion today.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, first of all, I am no fan of, like, mixing any church and the state together. That always is a bad formula, and I think it's important to note that the state church of Norway, the Lutheran state church, is liberal as they get now, and it's just a complete and utter train wreck. You don't mix church and state like that. It doesn't ever work out well. So,
in fact, if they're not already, they'll be arresting people in Norway for different reasons other than the good ones.
Right. Yep.
Well, we have Pirate Christian Radio to discuss. Tell us about Pirate Christian Radio.
Sure. Pirate Christian Radio is an online, internet-based Christian talk radio station that I started almost 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years in June of next year. And it was started as a result of the drift that I had noticed was taking place in kind of mainstream Christian radio. Over our lifetime, Chris, we've seen, you know, Christian radio kind of go from actually having deep theological discussion to kind of watering things down, especially kind of on the bigger radio networks. And so about 10 years ago, I actually sat down with a fellow who worked for Salem Broadcasting and was talking to him about that major change. And in the course of our conversation, I pitched a couple of ideas to him for radio programs. One of which was kind of the early prototype of my program, which is called Fighting for the Faith. And literally the fellow sat across the table from me and he said, yeah, no, Becky wouldn't like that. And I kind of looked at him, you know, dumbfounded. I said, who's Becky? You know, I was thinking maybe Becky was like, you know, some, you know, like the vice president of programming or something. And he said, Becky is our target audience. And he said, Becky is a woman in her late 20s, early 30s. She's got 2.4 kids, and she's interested in programs that, you know, that address the, you know, the things that she thinks are most important in life. And I thought, since when did a theoretical woman decide what is appropriate for Christian radio as opposed to the written word of God? And after that meeting with this fellow, it was at that point I decided I needed to put together a pirate station, and with the idea that a pirate station is a station that broadcasts from outside of the system in order to, to basically, fix the problems that existed in Christian broadcasting. And so Pirate Christian Radio at that point began as a concept. I eventually put a business plan around it and then launched it on June 30th in 2008. And literally from the day we started, I mean, we've had a significant and growing audience. And the nice thing about it is that I've made a point of like putting together programs that include confessional Lutherans in the mix, because confessional Lutherans, if you ever meet any of them, they're quite insular. They like talking amongst themselves, but they're very awful at like talking to other Christians in other denominations. And so it's been nice to be able to actually have the ability to have some confessional Lutherans engage in a broader Christian discourse via Pirate Christian Radio. So that's been just a fantastic project that I've been able to work on over the years.
Well, praise God for that. And just to give some credit to Salem, they do have some good programming on there. They have John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul and Alistair Begg, and there are some theologically sound programs on there. But I have to tell you a story very briefly that I think that you will find humorous, because it's nearly identical to the one you had. After hosting Iron Sharpens Iron for several years, I got a phone call from the Salem station that I worked for 15 years. They had some familiarity with me, because even though they were new in management, since I had a very long history with them, they knew that I was always one of their top one or two salespeople every month. And I began filling in as a talk show host for the in-house host, Andy Anderson, who is now with the Lord. I began filling in for him a lot because they discovered that I had a great ability to book brilliant guests and write questions for the host. So when he began to go on vacation or if he was sick, he would say, "Why don't you get Chris Arnson to fill in for me?" So I caught the bug, and when I left Salem, I started my own program. And they called me. The new program manager said that we'd like to meet with you about your show. We'd like to possibly add it to the lineup. So I went to New Jersey, where they were located at the time, the headquarters, and at least for WMCA, affiliate, that's where they were located. And the program manager said to me, I think that you're ready to do a host a program of your own on Salem, on WMCA here. But I got to tell you, I hate your show. And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah, you interview a theologian for 2 hours? Are you kidding me? Boring." And I said, "Okay, really? Well, what would you like me to do?" He said, what we would like you to do, first of all," he said, "I hate interview programs. But if you're going to do an interview program, you've got to do what David Letterman or Jay Leno do. They have a guest on for tops 4 minutes, and then when they go to the station break, if the guest is really interesting and exciting, they'll have the person on for another 4 minutes tops, and then he's gone. He or she is gone." And I said, "So you're comparing truths that involve eternal life with what some moronic celebrity has to say about an anecdote that happened on the set of a movie they were filming? You're like comparing these two things?" I said, "This doesn't even make any sense." And I said, "So what do you want me to do?" He said, "Well, what we really want you to do is just take calls from our listeners." The average listener, as you know, being in radio, is a married woman, 25 to 54, with children, in the household, and we want you to just take phone calls and chat with them about their daily problems. And without quoting the Bible too much, do a kind of what would Jesus do in their situations without getting theological or too biblical. So I said, so you want me to do a one-man version of The View? Is that what you're saying? I said, number one, if my wife heard that I was giving advice to women, you'd be able to hear her laughing all the way from Long Island, New York. And number two, I'm not a pastor. Number three, I'm not a licensed counselor. Why on earth would you want me to be doing that? This is ridiculous. I said, thanks, but no thanks. But it was very interesting that you had the Becky story because it seemed to be very similar to my experience.
And that's funny enough, the same problem that you see in kind of the wider, broader appeal Christian radio is also the same problem that's impacting evangelical Christianity kind of as a whole. This abandonment of this of the idea of an in-depth understanding of God's Word and being theological in our sermons and everything switching over to kind of entertainment and stuff that's relevant to making my life better. I mean, it's impacting churches now. It's so bad.
And by the way, I have to apologize to my co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor. I have not introduced him yet because I did the first time we went on the air, but since we had technical difficulties and returned to the air, I completely forgot to welcome him to the studio here.
But I am still here.
All right. And
Even though I found out you're Norwegian.
Well, why would you have a problem with Norwegians? What on earth?
So,
were your ancestors raided by my ancestors?
Oh, the Vikings, of course. I do have a question, though. How do you listen to pirate Christian radio?
You go to piratechristianradio.com and click on the Listen Now button, and you can listen to our live stream. Or you can look at our programming lineup, and the information on which podcast to subscribe to are also available at piratechristianradio.com. So, yeah, that's the main way of listening. And we have about 8 hours of talk radio new content every weekday that we loop three times because of our international audience. One of the things I've discovered in doing radio is that the average person who listens to talk radio never listens for more than 6 hours a day. So we have 8 hours of original programming for the person who is like the outlier, but by looping it three times, it makes it so that somebody in a cubicle in Sydney, Australia can get our programming day just as well as somebody in America or as well as Johannesburg. So yeah, but we have people listening literally around the world. So
yeah, as do we here in Iron Sharpens Iron. It's amazing the global audience that we have. And going from the ridiculous to the sublime, meaning from some of the nonsense we were talking about in Christian radio, to Fighting for the Faith, your program. Let us know something more about that.
Sure. I do a two-hour apologetics program 5 days a week, and the name of it is Fighting for the Faith. And this is the best way I can describe it is that it is the theological equivalent of waterboarding or the ice bucket challenge. What I do on my program is we actually name names and we play sound bites and we do comparative work where, with somebody like a Brian Houston, we actually listen to a portion of the sermon or the sermon in its entirety and we compare the things that he's saying that God wants us to believe or God wants us to do. We compare how he handles Scripture to God's Word in context using just basic sound hermeneutical principles like context and words meaning things. When you look at... So that's the idea. And over and again, my program demonstrates that the steady diet of doctrine that is being fed to evangelical Christians on a daily basis from many of the most popular guys. Now, I'm not talking about MacArthur or Begg or people like that. I'm talking about the Rick Warrens, the Brian Houstons, the kind of the seeker-driven mega church pastors, as well as many people within the charismatic movement, that the steady diet of doctrine that they're being fed is not even biblical. It's not what Scripture says, and I would even argue it's as man-made and mythological today in many parts of evangelicalism as it was in medieval Catholicism. You know, it's weird because you ask the average you know, megachurch goer, do you believe in praying to the saints? Do you believe in purgatory? Do you believe, in things, you know, that are distinctly Roman Catholic, that, you know, the perpetual virginity of the Virgin Mary? And they'll sit there and say, of course we don't believe that. And you ask them why, and they'll say, well, because it's not in the Bible. But at the same time, many of the doctrines they are believing are as man-made and aberrant as the belief in purgatory or prayers to the saints or indulgences. It's just, it's aberrant because it's as unbiblical as any of that stuff, but they tolerate it because their favorite guy is the guy teaching them. And that's a problem. I mean, it really is a problem. So the purpose of fighting for the faith is to really encourage people to stop and actually apply some biblical discernment to what it is that they're listening to, and don't think that just because somebody is popular, that they have a mega church with five multi-sites, that just because they're popular, or maybe they have a book out that sold millions of copies, that somehow that exempts them from, you know, from actually having their doctrine, you know, criticized and examined biblically. And so the idea is that's the gist behind fighting for the faith, is to really kind of just point out to people that many of the popular pastors and preachers and prophets and prophetesses, they're not actually teaching the truth of Scripture at all in any meaningful way. It's actually quite sad. And as a result of that, because we play sound bites in context, we name names, it does have a tendency to get people a little irked. And I always tell people, don't listen with an open mind. Always listen with an open Bible. And it's so fun after literally being on the air now for almost 10 years, I've received, you know, literally tens of thousands of emails that begin with the words like, I used to think you were the biggest jerk in the whole world, that you were a conceited nincompoop. And so I took your challenge. I opened up the Bible to see if, you know, to do the comparative work with you, and wouldn't you know, you were right and I was wrong, and so I was writing to let you know that my wife and my kids and my family and I, we joined this church or that church, and we're so happy because we now know, what it means to actually listen with discernment, to know what biblical preaching sounds like, and we're no longer, under the craziness that we were under. So, I mean, literally, we get so many of those emails now every week. But when we started off, it took a while before we got those emails. But now we get them on a very regular basis.
Great. And one more thing. I understand that you're not in the Missouri Synod. I should say that Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, is not in the Missouri Synod, which is the one of the more conservative Lutheran denominations in the United States. Tell us about the actual synod that you're in.
Sure. The Kongsvinger is part of the American Association of Lutheran Churches, the AALC, and they are in full altar and pulpit fellowship with the Missouri Synod because we believe, teach, and confess the same things. But our history is kind of interesting in this sense, that the AALC is a group of, comprised of a group of congregations that broke off of the ELCA at the time that the LCA there was a big merger that happened between a bunch of different groups that were Lutheran, and they jumped ship because they could see the handwriting on the wall that once that merger occurred that created the big denomination called the ELCA, that the liberals would literally have complete power and they would never be able to be gotten rid of. And so these congregations jump ship in order to be able to hang on to conservative confessional Lutheranism and not have the liberal agenda forced down their throats by their local bishops. And so that's how the AALC got formed. and so they still continue to be a small group of congregations spread out throughout the United States. But they are confessionally conservative, just like the Missouri Synod. Just that we've got our own leadership, as opposed to the LCMS's leadership.
Right. I don't know if the Trinity Lutheran Church in West Hempstead, New York, is in that synod. I think it may be, but my old friend that I haven't seen in years, Ray Latoire, is the pastor of that church, and I have a strong feeling it was in that synod that you're in. Do you happen to know if Trinity and...
Offhand, I don't know.
Okay, that's all right.
I'd have to look on the internet, so...
Okay. Well, we have quite an interesting topic today that I hope doesn't offend too many people who love the music of a church named Hillsong. I know that they must be very popular. I'm kind of out of the loop with modern-day Christian recording artists and the most popular of modern contemporary Christian music. Not that I don't like some of it or even a lot of it, but when I worked, or I should say when my radio program, Iron Sharpens Iron, was first launched, it was on a station that primarily played contemporary Christian music, and most of it made my stomach churn, and I just lost total interest in keeping up with the times with that. Although there are groups like the Gettys, Keith Getty and his wife, who are purely biblical in their music, and other folks who I enjoy and tremendously, and who are edifying and bless me, and whose music is not only God honoring, but the lyrics are clearly theologically sound, and so on. But I've been seeing a lot of Hillsong music being posted on Facebook. And by the way, all my Facebook friends, my 5,000 Facebook friends, if you're wondering where I am, I don't know what happened, but Facebook kicked me off yesterday, and I had to restart a new page. I still don't have any clue of why that happened, why they did that to me. I'm only assuming I was promoting my show too much. I was really going gung-ho publicizing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all kinds of pages, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but they kicked me off. So any of you 5,000 folks that want to be my Facebook friend again, contact me or send me an invitation. But I'm seeing a lot of Hillsong music posted on Facebook, even by friends of mine who are theologically sound themselves. So I think it's an important issue to address because of their popularity. Tell us something about Hillsong Church before we go to a break. And by the way, the reason people may be wondering why I asked you, Chris Roseborough, to conduct an interview on Hillsong Church in Australia when you're a Lutheran pastor in Minnesota, it's because I contacted a Christian ministry in Australia whose members remain anonymous publicly because of fear of lawsuits, but they are very concerned about the popularity of Hillsong Church in spite of the fact that they seem to have very soft views on the issue of homosexuality and other things. And when I asked them to be a part of an interview, even if they were to remain anonymous, they declined but strongly urged me to invite Chris Roseborough, my guest today, to discuss this matter. So before we go to the break, tell us about Hillsong Church to begin with and why you became so aware of some problems that you believe exist there.
Sure. I mean, in general, we can talk about the fact that Hillsong is really the church that was created by Brian Houston, and it kind of picks up on the legacy of his father, Frank Houston. And Hillsong today is it is kind of like a multimedia music monolith, is the best way I can put it. And you cannot separate Hillsong music from Hillsong the church. And the gist of the problem really has to do with the message that Hillsong promotes, which, by the way, changes and has switched over the years. When Brian Houston early on came onto the scene, he was a full-blown health and wealth prosperity preacher who overtly taught the Word of Faith heresy. And as he received more and more criticism, he's tried to kind of pull that back a little bit. And the best way I can describe Hillsong is that theologically they are chameleonic. They are like a chameleon. They do a very good job of kind of hiding what it is that they really believe, teach, and confess, and trying to cast a very wide net as far as the message that they teach in order to have the broadest appeal possible. And that actually is the nub of the problem. And when we come back from the break, we can explain why that is. Why would that actually be a problem? Why wouldn't we want Christianity to have the broadest appeal possible so that we can have large churches? Scripture itself actually answers the question, and so that would actually need to be one of the things we discuss as, you know, kind of a foundational issue when it comes to being able to understand the difficulties and challenges and dangers that Hillsong itself presents to Christianity.
Okay, great. And what you're saying sounds somewhat reminiscent of T.D. Jakes. I don't want anybody to complain that I was insinuating Hillsong Church is a oneness Pentecostal church like T.D. Jakes is, but there's a similarity in that there's a lot of vagueness and ambiguity and mystery cloaked around the theology of T.D. Jakes and the way that he defends himself against accusations of being an anti-Trinitarian just leave me more confused than I was before the question was asked.
But
we're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Whether you agree or disagree with Chris Roseborough, whether you love Hillsong music or not, whether you just don't know, maybe this is a totally new subject to you, we would love to hear from you at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And if you have to remain anonymous because it makes you feel more comfortable, since your question may be a personal and private one, maybe you are going to try to defend Hillsong, but you don't want to publicly identify yourself. Whatever the case is, you may remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. But otherwise, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. And don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Pastor Chris Roseborough, and he is also the founder of Pirate Christian Radio and the host of the Fighting for the Faith podcast. Today we are discussing Hillsong Church and examination, and if you would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, if you have a question. And we do have a number of people still waiting to have their questions asked and answered, but we'll get to you as soon as possible. And by the way, Chris, you might find this interesting. Tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I have the Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, who is going to be discussing his book, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. So, and I do have to give a caveat to my listeners. I am not converting from Calvinism to Lutheranism. People may be starting to wonder, because you even have about three more dates scheduled to be interviewed here. So the Lutherans are not taking over Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, but I love to have a Lutheran on whenever I can to discuss something of interest to our audience. And that, I think, would include what we're discussing today, because Hillsong seems to be very widely popular amongst Christians spanning the theological spectrum, even those that might be theologically conservative. So if you could pick up where you left off and tell us more about why we should be concerned at all about these people that appear to be creating such beautiful music.
Okay. So one of the issues is we'll kind of start first with the listener. We'll work our way towards Hillsong. We live in a day where Christians, for whatever reason, they make choices regarding what they theologically digest using the same criteria that they use when they decide what programs to watch on Netflix or what to watch on television or things of that nature. And the general idea is that people, they want to be entertained, they want to feel good, and so they want churches who will entertain them and make them feel good as well. And Hillsong has literally made its hundreds of millions by basically catering to that approach, to giving consumers what they want. They are entertaining. They put on a spectacle week after week like you wouldn't believe, and the music is all designed to make you feel good with as little theological content getting in the way as possible. But the problem is that Scripture warns us against this, and quite explicitly. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to young Pastor Timothy, who was one of the pastors that was in the city of Ephesus, and he says to him, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. So you'll note he's invoking the imminent return of Jesus in judgment. And he says to young Pastor Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. And it is not hyperbole for me to say that Hillsong fits this perfectly. Hillsong is one of the places that the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, warned us about. And the reason I know this is because, you know, for years I have been paying very close attention to the messages being preached by Hillsong, by their most popular pastor, Brian Houston, as well as some of their other pastors that preach at their different multi-site campi around the world.
Now, why is that? Why is that you are paying such close attention to them?
Because of their popularity. Because many evangelicals just basically they assume that because they're popular, that because their music sells well, that somehow that this means that it's okay for Christians to listen to and to use their music in worship. But the reality is that Scripture over and again warns us that we have to guard our doctrine and our life very carefully. And here's kind of the thing, is that you invoked T.D. Jakes and noted how very difficult it is to actually nail down what it is that he believes, that he teaches, that he confesses. The same thing holds true regarding Hillsong. You can't exactly go to a very extensive document that says, here's what Hillsong believes, teaches, and confesses. Those documents are very difficult to find, and when you find them, they are so thin and watered down that pretty much means you can, they can teach and believe just about anything. And that's exactly what they do.
And that brings up the serious importance of confessionalism that you mentioned earlier.
Right, exactly. If you read the Book of Concord, you know what I believe, what I teach, what I confess, and on any given Sunday, what I'm going to be teaching from God's Word is going to be in line with what those confessions state. And here's the other part. Because I'm an ordained minister within the American Association of Lutheran Churches, as part of my ordination vow, I vowed that I would only teach what's in accord with our confessions. So if I were to get up on a Sunday morning and deny the doctrine of the Trinity, the American Association of Lutheran Churches would literally deblock me and make the claim that I had broken my ordination vow, you know, that I would only teach what's in accord with our confession. But, you know, we live in a day where confessions and theology and doctrine and ordination vows and doctrinal statements, they literally are put forward by many people in evangelicalism as an impediment to doctrine, an impediment to the church. And so they have surrounded themselves with teachers who can pretty much teach whatever they want, and you'll note that their messages drip, and they don't have any really real anchor. It's basically like they're sticking their licking their finger and then sticking it up into the wind, and whichever way the prevalent theological winds are blowing, those guys are totally on board and going with those winds. But Scripture warns us against that specifically and talks about those who are taught hither and yon by every strange wind of doctrine. And funny enough, Hillsong is literally made their hundreds of millions by doing exactly that, sticking their finger into the wind and teaching whatever it is that will have the broadest appeal. And so that's contrary to 2 Timothy chapter 4, but it's also something that's contrary to what Scripture teaches in the Epistle of Jude, which I think is a very good place for people to pay attention to. Talking about the false teachers, Jude writes in verse 11, "Woe to them, they walked in the way of Cain." These are people who basically go through the motions religiously but don't have any faith. "They abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error." Balaam was a prophet for profit, and they perished in Korah's rebellion, which is really interesting, a little bit of a study there. When you look at Scripture, what it teaches regarding Korah's rebellion was a rebellion against the institutions, the offices that God had established at the time of the Old Testament era, and it was a rebellion against Moses himself being a spokesperson for God. And God severely judged Korah and his entire family and all those who joined with him in his rebellion. And so, you know, kind of the three marks of a false teacher are they're prophets for profit, they just go through the religious motions but don't have faith, or they rail against the way God had instituted things in the church. And then talking about them, they are hidden reefs at your love feast. They feast with you without fear. They are shepherds who feed only themselves. They are waterless clouds. They are swept along by the wind. They are fruitless trees. They're twice dead and uprooted. They're wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. And they are wandering stars. And that's kind of an important descriptor. A wandering star is one you cannot navigate by. So, you know, you can only navigate by a star that does not move, which is why we navigate by the North Star here in the Northern Hemisphere, because Polaris stays at one fixed point in the horizon. And that's the only kind of star that you can navigate by. You can't navigate by, you know, something in the belt of Orion or one of the planets like Jupiter. You have to have a fixed point. And so over and again, you look at a movement like Hillsong, and the one thing that is the constant is that they theologically and doctrinally drift. There's nothing firm that they actually hold on to, and they always give vague answers when it comes to important issues such as, you know, homosexuality, the need for people to repent of sexual sins of that nature. They always are very vague, and if their all of their messages really seem to be geared towards making you feel good about being you and how important you are, as opposed to proclaiming God's holy law, which convicts us of our sins, and proclaiming Christ and Him crucified for our sins as the only solution for the problem that we all humans collectively face, and that is that we are by nature sinners in need of a Savior, and that Christ has died a penal substitutionary death on the cross in order to, you know, to literally satisfy God's justice, to propitiate the wrath of God, and to restore the broken relationship we have with God as a result of our sin against Him. You don't hear those categories and that type of preaching from Hillsong. Over and again, you're going to hear about how important you are, the need for you to discover your God-given destiny, and the need for you to basically eschew anybody who would try to speak negatively against the destiny that you believe that God has revealed in your heart, and all this kind of nonsense. And none of their messages actually jive with historic biblical Christian orthodoxy. It's more or less whatever is the hip kind of thing at the moment. They're always on board with that, and as a result of it, the only constant is theological drift and change when it comes to Hillsong.
Before we go into the issue of homosexuality, which is how I first heard about problems with Hillsong, is when Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries started to contact the pastor there, or believe it perhaps was a United States satellite of Hillsong. I can't remember right now, but it was a. It was
Hillsong, New York City. It was Carl Lentz.
Okay, and Dr. James R. White of Alpha Mega Ministries, a dear friend of mine since 1995, said that he had serious problems with their positions or lack thereof on homosexuality. But before we go there, are there any alarming things that should draw us attention specifically about doctrine that you know they teach? And you've been just talking about how elusive they are. But is there anything concrete that you can say in addition to what you've already said before we go on to the issue of homosexuality?
Sure. I think the main problem with their doctrine is that they still continue to teach a form of the word of faith heresy, which basically says that if negative things are happening to you in your life, it's because you haven't somehow activated through your faith-filled words, positive outcomes in your life. So thinking positively and speaking positively are the means by which you create positive results in your life. And there's a very, very heavy emphasis that the results that you're looking for as a Christian are an increase in personal wealth, an increase in personal health, and then personal influence and affluence. So their version of Christian sanctification really looks like as somebody who's very healthy and wealthy and influential. Those are supposedly what they believe are the marks of true Christian sanctification, as opposed to holiness of the mortification of your sinful flesh, and then trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then bearing fruit in keeping with repentance in good works, in love for neighbor. That's not how they talk. It's always kind of very much focused narcissistically on you learning and achieving your dream destiny, which just so happens to also include ever-increasing health and wealth and influence, which is not at all what Scripture teaches. It's a very carnal-based approach to Christian sanctification, which means it's not Christian sanctification because it actually keeps people focusing in on the passions of their sinful flesh rather than mortifying them. And, of course, Brian Houston would be the guy who is the ultimate example of the guy who's pulling it off, because he jets around the world in his private jet and lives in, and stays at five diamond resorts and things of that nature. So he's the guy who shows you that this approach to Christianity really is the truth, because he's the guy who's living the dream and practices what he preaches. But, again, it's focusing in on all of the things that Scripture condemns and is narcissistic in its focus rather than focusing us on Christ, and is really about living out what your sinful flesh really desires in the first place, and somehow baptizing it to make that Christian. That's the real hub of what's really wrong with Hillsong.
So I'm confused. Do you like this church or not?
No.
Obviously, I was just joking. We're going to a break right now, and this is going to be one of our elongated breaks because we have to comply with Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, who insists that we, or requires, I should say, that we have our program submitted to them in two 54-minute chunks, so we have to have an elongated break in the middle. I hope you'll be patient with us, but we will be back momentarily after these words from our sponsors. with more of Chris Roseborough's critique of Hillsong. And if you'd like to join us, we already have a number of you waiting, and I know that you've been waiting quite a while, so please be patient. But if you would like to get in line behind them and join us with a question of your own on Hillsong, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. Perhaps you disagree with your own pastor on Hillsong or something like that. You'd rather not identify yourself. I understand. But we also welcome anyone to send in a question who is in favor, or should I say, allies themselves with Hillsong and wants to defend Hillsong. You may do that as well. But we are going to be right back, God willing, after these messages from our sponsors. So please do not go away.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in today, our guest for the full 2 hours, with just about an hour to go, is Chris Roseborough, founder of Pirate Christian Radio. We are discussing a Hillsong Church and critiquing it and exposing some of the serious errors about Hillsong, and especially perhaps in regard to the issue of homosexuality, which we are going to be introducing into the conversation momentarily. But before I return to the conversation, I have some important announcements to make. The Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, is having a 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation celebration. That is going to be this coming September, and it's going to feature my friend from Toronto Baptist Seminary, Dr. Tony Costa, who is the professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And this is going to be, I'm sure, an exciting conference and a fascinating one. Dr. Tony Costa, many of you may remember him. I had, back in January of this year, had him come out to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, to debate a Roman Catholic, Robert St. Genis, on the Immaculate Conception and Perpetual Sinlessness of Mary. And Dr. Tony Costa did such an admirable, remarkable job in that conference, so I'm sure that you will indeed be edified by him. It's Friday, September 29th, and Saturday, September 30th, at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island. If you'd like more information, you can go to WOTChurch.com. That's W-O-T for Word of Truth, church.com. Or you can call the Word of Truth Church at area code 631-806-0614. The very next day, Sunday, October 1st, at 11 a.m., Dr. Costa will be preaching at the morning worship service of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, where my dear friend Pastor Rich Jensen is the pastor. If you'd like to attend that service, you can go to hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net, which LI stands for Long Island, hopereformedli.net, or call them at 631-696-5711, 631-696-5711. And then, coming up in November, my friends at the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals are having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, and I, God willing, will be there with an exhibitor's booth, so I hope that you can join me there. This is going to be on the theme, For Still Our Ancient Foe, a line certainly not unfamiliar to my guest, Chris Roseborough. For Still Our Ancient Foe, an obvious reference to Satan from the hymn of the great reformer, Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress. That's November 17th through the 18th. Speakers include Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, Dennis Cahill, and Scott Oliphant. And this is going to be held at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And as I said, it's November 17th through the 18th. If you'd like to register for that conference, go to alliancenet.org. AllianceNet.org, click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And then, last but not least, the G3 Conference is returning to Atlanta, Georgia. The G3 standing for Grace, Gospel, and Glory. And next year's theme, when I say next year, it's not that far away because it's in January. Next year's theme is going to be Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. And the speakers include Stephen Lawson, Vody Bauckham, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, who I mentioned earlier as one of my favorite modern-day Christian recording artists, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, my dear friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Tom Askell, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, president of Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel of Wretched Radio, who I have heard quote from Chris Roseborough from time to time on Wretched Radio and Wretched TV. We have Derek Thomas and Martha Peace also speaking at the G3 conference. If you'd like to register for that conference, go to g3conference.com. g3conference.com. If you register for any of these events or just want to find out more information and you contact these organizations running the events, please let them know that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, it's my unfortunate and uncomfortable time to grub money from you. I hate doing this, but it's something that needs to be done, especially since my advertisers have been urging me for so long, prodding me and urging me and insisting that I make public appeals for donations. Those advertisers that are currently keeping my program afloat want this program to remain on the air for a long time to come, but we need additional donations. If you are financially blessed with the capability of blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a donation of any amount without dipping into the regular giving you are accustomed to your local church where you are a member, and hopefully you are a member of a local Bible-believing church, and if you're not, you get to correct that quickly. But please never siphon money out of your giving to your church, and never take food off of your family's dinner table. Those two things are commands of God. Supporting my show is not a command of God, but if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and home, then please consider supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If indeed you love this program, it's a part of your daily life, you are edified greatly by it. If that is the case, please help us remain on the air with a donation or regular contributions, as some of you have been doing, and I thank God for you, and I can't even describe in the English language how grateful I am. But if you'd like to send in a check, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and you'll be given an address where you can mail a check for any amount made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want to advertise with me, as long as what you're advertising is compatible with the theology expressed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, doesn't mean you have to be a Calvinist or agree with me 100% on everything. It just means it needs to be compatible with what I believe. If that is the case, whether it's your church, parachurch organization, your business, your corporation, special event, a professional practice, maybe you're a lawyer, a doctor, a chiropractor, or a dentist, whatever it is that you do that you want to promote, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, and hopefully we can work out a campaign with you. Well, now we are back with my guest, Chris Roseborough of Pirate Christian Radio. We are discussing Hillsong, and we are examining their theological dangers and doctrinal aberrancies. And now we're going to be, unless you've not finished anything you want to say about the other doctrinal matters, we'll enter into the area of their apparent softness on the sin of homosexuality. Do you have anything other, anything else to say in regard to specific doctrine or practice?
Let me say this, and that is that at piratechristianradio.com, in the archives of my program, Fighting for the Faith. So if you go to piratechristianradio.com, click on podcast, and go to Fighting for the Faith, look for the October 19th, 2016 episode of Fighting for the Faith. The name of it is Heresy Hiding in Plain Sight. And the thing you're really looking for there is are the links that we provide at the end of that program. In that program, we actually walk through the lyrics of many of the most popular Hillsong songs. But in the links that are additional resources, there are a whole lot of different resources from around the web that we've provided links to, including the Brian Houston and Hillsong Cornucopia of False Teaching, which literally chronicles and documents all of the different aberrant teachings that Hillsong has taught over the decades. And the best way I can put it is that my challenge for your listeners would be to do your homework. Don't take my word for it. And when you do the homework and you listen critically to their sermons, listen critically to the lyrics of their songs, and there's homework that we provided for everybody here, you'll begin to see for yourself the major, major problems that exist with Hillsong. It is not a safe movement. It is not a safe church, and their music is not safe theologically for you to be singing and worshiping to. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's very, very dangerous, dangerous stuff that they continue to put out into the public marketplace. And unfortunately, there are far too many consumers within Christianity who are not biblically critical. And these are the types of errors that could literally shipwreck your faith, and you don't want that to happen.
Great. Well, let's move on to the issue of homosexuality, which is the area of their aberrancy that first drew my attention to them, because, as I said earlier, my friend Dr. James R. White was having some problematic communication with the pastor in the New York City satellite church of Hillsong. And was very Dr. White was very displeased and disheartened by some of the responses that he was being given about this issue. But if you could tell our audience what is the problem with their understanding of homosexuality and their approach to those involved in that activity.
Well, the issue is that they're very vague and ambiguous regarding what their position is regarding homosexuality. The pastor in question, his name is Carl Lentz, and I, too, have had a very extensive communication with Carl Lentz regarding the issue of the sin of same-sex attraction as well as same-sex sex. And all of this came to a head a few years back when it became known that a very famous homosexual who was on the Survivor television program, that reality TV program called Survivor, that very famous homosexual attended Hillsong, and his gay lover was also part of like the music team there at Hillsong. And this kind of pushed everything to a head, and which kind of led to the question, why is it that an impenitent, practicing homosexual would have such a high profile at Hillsong? And when you pushed Carl Lentz and Brian Houston for clarity on these matters, over and again, the answers that they gave, the best way I could describe them would be Clintonian. If you remember back at the Clinton administration, you would always have to parse their words whenever they were, you know, pushed on a policy or something that they were doing. They engaged in weird kind of postmodern obfuscation and the weird use of words. I remember during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, Bill Clinton literally kind of biting his lower lip and saying, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." And, you know, of course, it begged the question, how are you defining the phrase sexual relations? Well, Hillsong is very Clintonian when it comes to the very clear biblical teaching regarding the fact that same-sex attraction as well as same-sex intercourse are an abomination to God, that they are sinner, that they are sinful, and that Christ has bled and died for these sins. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians even notes the fact that those who are sexually immoral and those who engage in homosexual passions and sex, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say that, and such were some of you, that even among the Christians in the Church of Corinth were people who had committed those sins, and yet they, because of the gospel, because of the forgiveness of sins won by Christ on the cross and the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit, they could talk about those sins in the past tense and say, yes, at one point I was one of these fellows who did these things, and now I am in Christ, and I am no longer one of those. But at Hillsong, it's the fact that you would have people, such high-profile homosexuals, openly saying, I go to Hillsong, New York City, and feeling comfortable in the seats, and that they, as practicing homosexuals, could participate in the worship of Hillsong. Well, that's more than just problematic. That's actually kind of part and parcel of the big problem that exists at Hillsong, and that is the absence of preaching that calls people to repent of their sins, to be forgiven by the shed blood of Christ, and then bear fruit in their lives in keeping with repentance in an ever-increasing holiness by embracing God's standards, moral standards as revealed in his law, and putting to death our sinful passions and behaviors, and living lives that are exemplary of the fact that we are forgiven sinners and that we don't use the gospel as a license to sin. Instead, when it comes to Hillsong, over and again on the homosexual issue, you can't ever get a straight answer from them. Is it a sin? Do people need to repent of it? Can somebody be a Christian and still be a practicing homosexual? Ask this of the Hillsong leadership, and you can never get a straight answer. In fact, one of the more problematic things recently covered on my program was that Brian Houston, in one of his sermons, has even become squishy on the issue of transgenderism and used the occasion of the story in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian eunuch to literally claim that the Ethiopian eunuch was a fellow who was confused regarding his own gender identity. For Brian Houston to twist that text from Acts chapter 8 to somehow claim that the story of the Ethiopian eunuch is one about how God can, you know, work in the life of somebody who is transgendered is more than problematic. I mean, it's just absolutely satanically sinful to twist biblical text in that way. And that's exactly what we get from Brian Houston and the rest of their pastors on a regular basis.
Right. And even if you were to stretch that text beyond imagination to mean that this person had some kind of sexual identity problem, he repented. He came to faith in Christ. Whatever it was he was before was left behind, and he was no longer carrying on in that way of life that he had before.
Let's make this clear, that in the ancient world, if you were part of the royal court, that where the royal person in charge was a queen or even a king, it was often in the ancient world there were people who became eunuchs, not because they viewed that as the ancient world version of gender reassignment surgery. That was not what that was about.
Right.
It was about the fact that they didn't want the courtiers to have sexual intercourse with the royals. And so that was, let's just say that that was an occupational hazard if you wanted to, to have the job of being, somebody who was high up in a royal court.
That's, I have a feeling not too many people were actually voluntarily applying for that job.
No, I mean, it's like, could you imagine, I'm seriously looking through the New York Times, it's like, oh yeah, you can work for, Candace, the Queen of the Ethiopians. And if you get the job, you're going to have your genitals
swallowed. One catch. It's one catch to the job, yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But you get the idea. That has nothing to do with gender identity. That had to do with the job, the vocation of being a courtier was. And so for somebody to impose, kind of the Bruce Jenner exegetical approach to that particular historical thing, it doesn't wash exegetically or historically. And when somebody engages in that kind of Bible twisting, they inevitably tip their hand that they are not properly understanding the proper distinction between God's law and the gospel. And that is one of the hallmarks of somebody who is going to scratch and tickle itching ears and tell people what they want to hear. The message that we Christians have been given to proclaim to the world is kind of twofold. Jesus explains it in Luke 24 as proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name, which requires us as Christians to preach God's law in all of its sternness, because when you do that, you realize that every single one of us, me included, we all fall into the category of those who have transgressed God's holy law, and we are sinners. In fact, Scripture makes it clear that sin is so deep that we are born dead in trespasses and sins. And that it literally takes a miraculous act of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, to bring us to repentance and to regenerate us so that we are forgiven and have a right standing with God. But over and again with churches like Hillsong, sin is watered down and is not discussed in any meaningful way. I mean, I remember the late Walter Martin. When he would talk about the false teachers of his day, he would say that they would always talk about Jesus being love. Jesus is love. Jesus is love. And he used to say butter wouldn't even melt in these people's mouths because of how mealy-mouthed they were. They were neither hot nor cold. Same with Hillsong. They are neither hot nor cold. And they're always emphasizing the love of Jesus and how Jesus wants you to have live your fullest life now and all this kind of stuff, nonsense. But the reality is what they don't preach is a meaningful message regarding God's law, which then convicts us of our sins and shows us our need for a Savior. In fact, you can't understand the gospel that Christ died for our sins unless you have rightly understand what sin is and that you have done it. You were born doing it. And so as a result of their message being deficient in that way, when you twist the scriptures and you can't give a meaningful answer to the question, is homosexuality compatible with Christianity, or you twist the biblical text regarding the Ethiopian eunuch and somehow import into it, that this guy was, Bruce Jenner gender confused, that's when you do that, you make it clear you do not understand what God's holy law teaches, and you don't actually preach it. It's funny, when you do stuff like that, you tacitly admit that you're not actually qualified to be a pastor and that you're not preaching the real gospel, because the real gospel addresses the real problem that we have. And the real problem that we have is that we have all fallen short of the glory of God and are liable to God's judgment and damnation because of our sinful rebellion against God and participation in the works of the devil. But you never hear it preached in that way at Hillsong, any of them.
There must be some mistake here. I thought that I had a Lutheran on the program today, not a fellow Calvinist. I don't know what happened. you're preaching to my heart, brother. Let's go to the final break before we have some of our listeners' questions read to you and answered by you. I don't want to interrupt you mid-sentence. So we're going to go to our final break. And if anybody else would like to join us, you should do it right away because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And you may remain anonymous if it makes you feel more comfortable. Perhaps you want to defend Hillsong and you really don't want to make that publicly known or something like that. Maybe you disagree with your pastor on Hillsong. Whatever it is, you may remain anonymous, but if it's not personal and private, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Chris Roseborough.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org. That's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 25 minutes to go is Chris Rosebro, founder of Pirate Christian Radio, and we are having a, or conducting a critical examination of Hillsong and their theology and their weak stance on the sin of homosexuality. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, but do so quickly because we're rapidly running out of time and there are people already waiting in front of you. Before I go to our first listener question, what do you say to the person who loves Hillsong and they say, wait a minute, they made a very strong stance in Australia against same-sex marriage. They made an official declaration that they were not in favor of same-sex marriage, that they believe that marriage is between one man and one woman and nothing else, and they were urging people to vote to make sure that same-sex marriage laws were not passed, etc. How do you respond to that?
I would say that's that's a good first step. But the question is, what are they preaching from the pulpit? Political action is one thing, but what you preach Sunday after Sunday is a different thing. And that's where the issue is. You can't change what you preach from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday by tokenly, basically, you know, saying we're going to get behind this particular measure and try to protect, marriage between a man and a woman. I mean, that's political action, and that's something we should all be engaged in within the republics and democracies that we live in. But at the end of the day, it's ultimately going to come down to what is preached from the pulpit, and that's where the real issue is. You can't somehow sit there and say, well, because they supported this measure, therefore we must assume that their preaching is correct. No, listen to their preaching, and you will see that it is over and again deficient in the area of sin in general, which includes all of the different sexual sins, including homosexuality and transgenderism. They are extremely weak, vague, and ambiguous in their stances regarding those things when it comes to what they preach from the pulpit.
Yeah, let's not forget that both President Bill Clinton and President Barack Obama initially strongly opposed same-sex marriage themselves. And they were no Bible-believing Christians, or are no Bible-believing Christians with any kind of conservative identity or identity that is connected with biblical inerrancy. So that really doesn't cover the whole issue just because you're against same-sex marriage. There are even homosexuals, that even though they might be in a minority, or people involved in homosexual activity, I should say, that are opposed to same-sex marriage. You might not hear about them often, but they do exist. We have Joanna in Atlanta, Georgia, a first-time questioner, who says, as a woman who falls within the demographic that you mentioned, and she's speaking about your Salem media discussion earlier, as a woman who falls within the demographic that you mentioned, I would take Iron Sharpens Iron or Fighting for the Faith over The View any day. She asks, how do you start talking to a believer who enjoys Hillsong music, especially if he or she is on a praise band, about the problem with the doctrines or lack thereof in their songs? Is there a more sensitive way to talk about it, or is it best to use the waterboarding the waterboarding tactic that you use on Fighting for the Faith?
Yeah, well, I said it, and I can't deny it. So here's how I would approach it in person. I would not use the waterboarding technique, but you'll notice that on Fighting for the Faith, what we demonstrate on Fighting for the Faith is how to facilitate the collision between God's Word and the false doctrine and false methods that have become the problem within the visible church today in evangelicalism. So take that approach and kind of work it this way. So you have a friend who's on a praise band, and if they're honest, they will tell you, yeah, when we plan out our set, we over and again talk about the type of mood that we're trying to create through the music, and that's a form of manipulation. And we actually sing these songs with these lyrics. So what you do in a situation like that is find where there is a direct contradiction between what they're saying or singing or doing and what God's Word actually says. And the way you do that then is that you say, hey, listen, you know, I was thinking about you and praying for you, and I'm worried, and here's the reason why. These songs that you're singing, they say this, but God's Word says this. And read out the text in context, and then ask this important question. How do you resolve the conflict between what you're doing or singing and what God's Word says here? And then do not answer the question for them. In the corporate world, they call this a power pause. And so what you do is you basically show that there is a contradiction between what God's Word says and what they're singing or doing, and you ask the question, how do you resolve the conflict, and then let them answer the question. And what you're going to find is that when you politely and respectfully point out that there's a contradiction and give them the opportunity to explain how they resolve it, that oftentimes, because they acknowledge that God's word is true, if they're shown that there's a contradiction, they'll begin to see that there's a problem. And you have to have the patience then with the people that you love. And by patience, I mean let God's word do its work. Scripture is so clear. In Hebrews 4, it says that God's word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. So facilitate that collision between God's word and what they're saying and doing, and let God's word do its work. Show that God's word says the opposite of what they're doing, and then let that be a problem for them to solve. And if they give you a lame answer, say to them, you know what? That was a pretty unsatisfactory answer, and I thought it was kind of lame, and it still didn't really address the core issue that what you're singing or doing is contradicted by what God's word says here. So keep coming back with the word and understand it is the word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to open up people's minds and their eyes to what the truth is. And the same thing had to happen to me, and Chris, the same thing happened to you. And so if we believe that God's word does these things, then help facilitate the collision between God's word and what people are believing and doing. And the Holy Spirit, through his word, is going to start to convict them and show them that what they're singing and doing is wrong. And God's word is going to then provide the opportunity and the means by which their eyes can be opened so that they can do what is correct and true.
Well, thank you so much, Joanna, in Atlanta, Georgia. And because you are a first-time questioner, you have won a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CV, as in Valley, BBS.com. That's CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. Please give us your full mailing address in Atlanta, Georgia, so we can have that shipped out to you, or so we can have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service ship that out to you at no charge to either you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We hope you keep listening for a long time to come and keep spreading the word about the program in Atlanta, Georgia. Also, I hope to see you at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia. If you do register for that, please let them know that you heard about the conference on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I forgot to mention to you, Chris, that I had emailed to you prior to our elongated break. I forwarded to you a question from a fellow Minnesotan. I don't know if you got that question. I sent it to you because it was rather lengthy, and I wanted you to have time to look it over during the break, but I completely forgot to tell you. But Christina in Isanti, Minnesota, I don't know if that's close to you or not, but she says, in my time attending Hillsong College, the seeker-focused atmosphere of Hillsong Church never sat well with me. The teachings were weak and watered down. The sinner's prayer was recited by the whole congregation at every single service, and worship was all hype and emotion. But the majority of conviction and challenge I received in my time there was from the songwriting. Now I've witnessed the theological test songs at Hillsong are put through, at least I did, in 2009 through 2010. And thanks to pastors Robert Ferguson, and I'm wondering if you, too, note a disconnect between the generally biblical, vulnerable, and heart worship songs and the lacking theological truth preached from the pulpit, books, and channel.
Okay, a little bit of a complicated question. But I want to kind of key in on where she put the emphasis in her question. And that is that she was noting that there's a disconnect between heart and mind. And that's one of the classic problems in our time, is that the Hillsong, all of their songs are quite emotive. They are designed to create a feeling. And the problem is that those feelings then are based upon emotive words that don't exactly have real substantive meaning. So I would point back to the resource that I mentioned earlier on one of the podcasts that we talk about this, and we work through their lyrics. But you're going to note here is that over and again, many Christians today make a sharp dichotomy between what they call head knowledge versus heart knowledge, as if somehow, if you have an in-depth understanding of Scripture and your brain is involved in reading Scripture and rightly understanding it, that somehow that is working against your heart, and worse, that then extends to somehow resisting the work of the Spirit, and the work of the Spirit is only a motive. That is so false, it's not even funny. Scripture tells us, in fact, Jesus says, that those who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. In fact, over and again, we learn from Scripture that our mind is engaged in rightly understanding God's word, and that our emotions then follow from a mind that is transformed by the word of God. And so much of evangelicalism thinks that a right understanding of Scripture gets in the way of emotions and what the Spirit is doing, but Scripture is so clear that the two have to work together. And so this then kind of fleshes out one of the major problems that Hillsong has, is that they emphasize the emotive and they de-emphasize the part of Scripture that really engages our mind. And so they pit heart against head, where Scripture teaches us that both head and heart are under the authority of Scripture, and that mind has to be in the driver's seat as informed by Scripture, and then emotions follow. So that's one of the major problems with Hillsong, and I would even argue then that the when she talks about the issue regarding the whole seeker-driven movement somehow being very thin doctrinally and theologically, that's one of the reasons why, is because they pit head and heart against each other, whereas Scripture puts both of them together underneath the Scriptures, with the head kind of in the driver's seat. But you have to understand, the seeker-driven movement works from a false understanding that somehow the job of Christianity and evangelicalism is to somehow manipulate people into making a decision. And that's false. That's patently false. Scripture is so clear on this that we don't choose God, but that God chooses us. And so the idea then is that the job of an evangelist is to preach the word. And the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that convicts people of their sin and preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel is the means by which then God regenerates people. So,
amen. I'm giving you a hearty Calvinist amen.
Yes, because this is where Lutherans and Calvinists agree. I mean, we're on the same side of the Reformation when it comes to the means of grace and how God regenerates people. But the whole seeker-driven movement, which is kind of strange if you think about it, they're actually on the same theological part of the spectrum that Rome is on. Rome would deny it, but they are literally, tacitly Pelagian in their approach. And Pelagianism is this heresy that somehow we're not dead in trespasses and sins, and somehow we've got to make these decisions when it comes to God and things like that. But, Scripture is clear that we're dead in trespasses and sins. So the whole approach that Hillsong engages in works from the false assumption of the Pelagian heresy, or at best the semi-Pelagian heresy, that somehow we've got to water things down so that somebody can make a decision. No, we need to preach the full counsel of the Word of God without shaving off any of the hard edges, and God the Holy Spirit is going to regenerate lost sinners and turn them into Christians who then trust in Christ and bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So the whole premise behind Hillsong and the seeker-driven movement is actually grounded in an ancient heresy known as Pelagianism.
Now, she seems to be defending this pastor, Robert Ferguson. I don't know who that is, but she seems to be saying that he puts their music through rigorous theological tests, and she is pitting the comparatively sound music to the sermons preached. I guess you're disagreeing with her assessment on that.
Yeah, I would go back to the resource that I mentioned earlier in the program from October of 2016. We actually walked through the lyrics of the most popular Hillsong songs, and they are at best theologically ambiguous and emotionally manipulative. There is no sound proclamation of what Scripture actually says in their music. It's like everything is designed to be kind of murky and cloudy and emotionally evocative rather than biblically sound and and proclaim the truths of Scripture that we as Christians should be able to all embrace and sing to and believe. And by the way, the ancient church actually had this understanding that what we sing is very vital in how we are formed doctrinally. The phrase that the ancient church used was lex orendi, lex credendi. And the idea behind lex orendi, lex credendi, it translates as the law of prayer is the law of worship or the law of belief. And so what you sing, what you worship, how you pray is what you end up believing. And the arch-heretic Arius of the ancient church, who he denied the doctrine of the Trinity, Arius understood the relationship between what Christians sing and what they believe. And Arius was quite a prolific songwriter of his day. And it's kind of interesting that in our day, there's not a big major heresy that's being taught by Hillsong per se, but what their lyrics teach is practically nothing. And it's fascinating that conversely, those people who make Hillsong songs, the steady diet of what they worship to and what they sing to, they also end up believing practically nothing. And it's this weird kind of almost nihilistic approach to worship where we're not gonna proclaim anything in what we believe except for our emotions. And then at the end of the day, the Christians it produces are people who, well, at the end of the day, don't really profess anything. It's just they feel really strongly about certain things. And that's exactly what Hillsong is producing and doing, because their lyrics teach nothing, and those who sing them end up believing nothing.
Reverend Buzz Taylor has something to say.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering, you may have already partially answered this, but do you think, and I'm playing the devil's advocate somewhat, okay, but do you think some of the key to this is the words in worship? That maybe it's fine to listen, you know, we listen to secular music in the home, and, you know, why not listen to Hillsong music? But when it comes to worship, it has to be accurate and biblical and all that.
You know, great question. I would prefer that Christians listen to secular music knowing that it's secular, rather than listening to Christian music that isn't Christian, believing that it's Christian. It actually creates less confusion. For instance, I love the Beatles, and I hate to say this, but back when I was in high school, I was told that listening to the Beatles was demonic, and that if I was a true Christian, I would burn my Beatles albums and listen only to Petra and Steve Taylor. And I actually bought it, and I hate to say this, but I actually burned my vinyl copy of the Beatles' White Album, believing that that's what Jesus...
Yes, I had my own little Chicago fire once when I was in college.
Yeah, and I've since repented, and the nice thing is that the man who I think will become my son-in-law, for my birthday, gave me a vinyl copy of the Beatles' White Album, so I feel like it's come around.
Yes.
But here's the thing, when I listen to the Beatles, I don't expect that what I'm listening to is Christian. And the reality is that as a Christian, as I grow in sanctification and holiness, what I've found is that those songs that are most egregious and offensive when it comes to the law of God, I can no longer sing them or listen to them. I just, when they come up on my playlist, I skip to the next song. But when I was younger in Christ, it wasn't quite as obvious. And when I finally came back to secular music, you know, I had no problem singing things, but I found that the longer I'm a Christian, there's certain things I can't listen to. I'll give you an example. If you know the Sting song, "Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you," I used to love that song. And then somebody told me, "You understand that's about a stalker, don't you?"
Wow.
And when I realized that, I went, "Oh my, that just totally ruined it for me." I took it off my playlist and deleted it from my iPhone because I cannot sing along to a song that's about a man who's stalking somebody else. It runs so contrary to what the Spirit and what God's Word reveals in His law that I can't sing to it because it literally causes a crisis of conscience. And so I think over and again, and here's where it gets interesting. I think it's better for Christians to have the collision between what God is doing and sanctifying them and what they're listening to, because we know that the The world does what the world does because the world is the world. But over and again, they think that somehow that because it has a Christian label on it nowadays, therefore it must be safe, therefore I can sing to this. No, I find that Christian, so-called Christian music is far more dangerous nowadays than secular music was, you know, 20, 10, 5 years ago. Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But that discussion reminds me of something I heard Michael Horton on the White Horse Inn say a long time ago, back in the 90s, I think it was. He said, when I became a Christian, I burned all my secular albums. When I became a Calvinist, I burned all my Christian albums. We have Joe all the way in Slovenia, who says, wow, my two favorite discernment ministry personalities together. What a special treat. The only question I could ask of Brother Chris Roseborough is on this topic, and that's, what can be done by us average believers out here besides posting and emailing links to your discernment critics of the errors of Hillsong? I'm constantly sharing episodes that both of you produce, but very few seem to be fazed by all the craziness coming out of Hillsong. What does the apparent lethargy of the visible church regarding maintaining historical orthodoxy say about the overall condition of evangelicalism?
Okay. Kind of working backwards. The overall condition of American evangelicalism or evangelicalism as a whole right now is a complete train wreck. There's just no way around it. But I would like to challenge your Slovenian listener, who apparently is also familiar with fighting for the faith, and that is this, is that if you think the job is for you to forward links via email, I hate to break this to you, but you have missed the point of Chris's program as well as Fighting for the Faith. The job of our programs is to help you understand what the scriptures say and give you the resources so that you personally own these biblical arguments, so that you personally can open up God's word, and you personally can, from God's word, warn people. So the idea here is that Chris's program and Fighting for the Faith and the other programs on Pirate Christian Radio, they are teaching programs to teach you. The job is not for you to, you know, now I've got links that I can send to people, although that would be helpful. The better thing for you to do, because you're the one who has the personal relationship with these people, is to actually make it so that you now own these biblical arguments and you can open up the scriptures and use the sword of the Spirit. Because believe me when I tell you, as brilliant as Chris Arnzen is and as fun as Fighting for the Faith is, you know, theological waterboarding is just entertainment in and of itself. As entertaining as that is, it's not effective in opening up people's eyes when they're being deceived. Only the Word of God can do that. So the goal is for you personally to know what the scriptures say so that you personally can open up the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and then the sword of the Spirit then will open up their eyes. Fighting for the Faith doesn't open up people's eyes. Chris Arnzen's program doesn't open up people's eyes. It's God's word that does. And if you think that that's what we're doing here is to open up eyes, no, you got to understand, we're opening up the scriptures, and it's the scriptures that are opening up people's eyes. Chris and I are just servants. It's the word of God that does the work.
Amen. And I want to let our listeners know before we run out of time that if you would like to find out more about Pirate Christian Radio, go to piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. And if you want to know more about Kongsgiver Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, go to kongsvingerchurch.org, kongsvingerchurch.org, and that's K-O-N-G-S, V as in victory, I-N-G-E-R, church.org, kongsvingerchurch.org. Chris Roseborough, it has been such a joy to be on the air with you, and if you could hold on, I'd like to have a few words with you when we go off the air.
Sure, no problem.
And just to let our listeners know that we have three more interviews scheduled with Chris. We have an interview on Wednesday, September 20th, and we have an interview on the Wednesday, the 27th of September. And I think we have another one, but I can't find it right now. But keep listening, and we'll keep you posted on these upcoming interviews with Chris Roseborough. I want to thank everybody who listened today. I apologize to all of you who could not, where we could not ask and answer your question before the program ran out of time. I appreciate you writing in nonetheless. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.